Welcome to our worship. We are First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. We gather together to give praise to God. This audio podcast is produced as a part of our worship services. We also have a YouTube service that's available, as well as our in-person worship, which takes place at 9 a.m. at 1225 4th Street. This Sunday is a special Sunday because we're celebrating our confirmants from 2021 and officially receiving them into the life of the church. Do check out the newsletter to see events coming up and the way in which you'll be able to continue to participate in our virtual worship as well as our in-person worship. Let's take a moment to open our hearts to God's love, and as we welcome the light of Christ, let's prepare to worship God together.
Let us pray. Jesus, our Lord and teacher, we want to draw near to you to hear what you will teach us. We long to know your love, to experience your grace, and to live in your peace. Enable us to experience you in our lives today as we open our hearts to hear you speak. Silence our egos, our pride, and our personal issues, and fill us with your grace and love as we worship this morning. Amen.
God of wisdom and source of truth, we come into your holy presence with hesitation, for we have done foolish things. We have wasted your precious gift of minutes and hours. We have been easily distracted by what is insignificant. We have fretted and worried away hours, and we have put off what is truly important. We have ignorantly held our opinions and confused our narrow perspective with your truth. Forgive our stubbornness and our inability to listen to your instruction. We are in need of your loving presence and your Holy Spirit to set us free from our sins. Humbly, we open ourselves to your steadfast love and mercy. Amen.
Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. I declare you in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Yes. We believe that God has a plan for everyone, no matter who they are or what they believe. We believe that Jesus, the one Son of God, came down to earth and was crucified for our sins. We believe that the Bible is not a book of fairy tales, but a collection of true stories collected by God's people for God's people. We believe that God gave us all gifts, and that we are uniquely formed by God. We believe that no one is more important than anyone else to God, and He loves us all, no matter what we have done or who we are. Finally, we believe that nothing is more important to God than us, and that He would be willing to sacrifice anything for us, even His Son, Jesus Christ.
The letter from James, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with the oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if any among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering, you will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins.
John said to him, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink, because you bear the name of Christ, will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you see it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another.
Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, you call us to be faithful to you and to live as disciples of Jesus Christ, our Savior. But we tend to have other ideas that include serving our own needs and our purposes. You call us to sacrifice, but that makes us uncomfortable. You invite us to discipleship and maturing, but that sounds like a lot of work. In short, we struggle with what it means to truly follow as faithful Christians. But then on other times, we truly crave to be loved and to be accepted as we are, to know we belong without having to create false images of ourselves. We want to be seen without feeling judged, to be welcomed and supported. So then when we think about it, Lord Jesus, we realize that we really want to live in a community of love and discipleship, of sacrifice and maturity. Jesus, show us how to let go of the things that keep us from faithfully loving and supporting one another as you've called us to love and support one another. Enable us to live in your grace as we fellowship with one another, and enable us to learn what it means to fulfill your calling. In the name of Christ our Lord, we do pray. Amen. In that series that we just completed on our relationship with the Bible, and in looking at how our relationship with God is shaped through God's Word, we spent a lot of time in Mark's Gospel. And we also looked at the calling that Jesus places upon the disciples. Over the last couple of weeks, we have been following a journey that has taken us from Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus and the disciples gathered in retreat to have a conversation about who the world says that Jesus is and who the disciples would affirm Jesus to be. And triumphantly and joyfully, Peter said, "You are the Messiah." And in that moment, their relationship with Christ changed, but the complications began. Because being the Messiah did not mean the victorious emperor, the powerful warrior. It meant the loving sacrifice that showed the true nature of God's love, not to be about law and not to be about punishment, but about compassion and forgiveness. And so from Caesarea Philippi, a path directly to the cross begins. And we have read through the different Sundays about Jesus speaking plainly to his disciples that the Son of Man is to be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes and to be killed and on the third day to raise. But the disciples are struggling because they've got a different perception, a different plan. This whole path of sacrifice is one that they cannot comprehend, nor are they prepared to accept. And so they're trying to find ways to deflect Jesus, to redirect him. They're also caught up in controversy and conflict between themselves. And we can understand that if we put ourselves in their position. The anxiousness of Jesus talking about this inevitable crucifixion, the fear that they have about what they are about to lose, the sense of powerlessness at the direction that this ministry is heading, they feel overwhelmed. They've lashed out against each other. They have become selfish in their ambition. They have struggled through trying to figure out what it is that Jesus is saying, and they become very caught up in this mind of blame and condemnation. And so in the passage from last week and continuing in the passage this week, we're looking at Jesus' instruction that the disciples needed to not only embrace the path of sacrifice, but to understand that their lives will be shaped by a very different set of rules. From Mark chapter 9, verses 43 through 48, we read, "If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched." This passage is so painfully harsh and has caused such trouble in terms of being able to understand how Jesus can say such horrible things. And we really do have to back up and understand what Jesus is saying and to whom. One of the things that's very significant is that Jesus is not speaking to us as individuals as much as Jesus is speaking to the body of Christ as a whole. When he draws them together, he says, if any of you, speaking of the whole, it is the church, the fellowship of God's people, those who claim to be able to live in Christ's guidance, and love that need to do the cutting and hacking. Specifically, he's saying if anything from within your fellowship becomes more important than serving Christ, it's got to go. If there's anything that becomes more significant to you than Christ's call to be sacrificial in giving of yourselves, it's better that you cut that off than that you give up the gospel. And this is a huge problem that we have as God's people. We become so attached to things that are not necessarily what are serving Christ or are healthy. It's a very strange thing that over a year and a half of the pandemic, we discovered that the building is not the center of the body of Christ. And that while the building is a useful thing, that our relationships are more valuable than knowing the security of having an edifice that represents us. And it's becoming an interesting challenge for so many churches in so many places to figure out what that relationship with the building should be. The same thing happens with traditions, with ways of using gifts and abilities in the church, with expectations and behaviors that are considered acceptable. So often in the church, we become very frustrated because we don't see mission happening in the way we want it. We tend to blame those who don't participate, that they are not making it a priority. We become upset with those who are not going to partake of what we're offering because they obviously are not following. It's either a lack of advertising or scheduling at a bad time or in other ways that it's not being made convenient. That's not the problem. The problem is it's not relevant. It isn't filling a need that is being experienced. It isn't giving a message that is enabling greater knowledge of God. Essentially, the reason why so frequently the body of Christ, the church universal, has lost its ability to have an impact and to be what it wants to be is because we got stuff that needs to get hacked off and thrown away. We have a lot of things that have gotten in the way of the proclamation. We're more attached to things that are traditions and behaviors, expectations, and things that make us comfortable as the church than we are attached to Christ. And this is the hard part that puts us in the position of having to ask, what's got to go? Because that isn't easy. Hands, feet, eyes, they're kind of precious. They are things that we rely upon. They are things that we have come to think are extremely important. Only to find out that those things that we have thought are central very often are the things that are getting in the way of what really matters. This has been something that has happened in the history of the Christian church for over 2,000 years. There have frequently been periods in which pruning back has had to happen, where cutting needed to take place. There are frequently times in which the church has become absorbed and obsessed with its power over society, over its position of dominion, over its ability to dictate what the rules will be. And in each of those times, there is this harsh pruning that comes later. That enables the church, although painfully, to return to its focus on living sacrificially in Christ. There's a lot of amputations that end up being forcibly forced upon the church in order to set the church free to live sacrificially. And this is what Jesus is talking about in this same passage from Mark chapter 9.
in verse 49. Jesus said, "For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourself and be at peace with one another." The verb, when it says salt with fire, or salted with fire, is essentially saying everything will be seasoned with fire. Everything will have that fire sprinkled upon it. And so frequently, the things that take place in the life of the church universal, the things that are perceived as being disadvantages, of being challenges, are the things that so often are the gift of making the message of God relevant. When the body of Christ, when the people of God, the church universal, calls upon the world to make sacrifices for it, it becomes increasingly irrelevant and distant from the hearts and the needs of the people. But when the church is salted with fire, when the people of God are called upon to learn and to grow, to adapt and to see differently, when forcibly this transformation takes place, the people of God become relevant, and many return to hear the message that is there. It's like pruning a grapevine or in an orchard, the trees. It isn't that the vine dresser or the orchardist is mad at the vine or the tree. It isn't that they want to punish these plants. It's actually out of a sense of love and appreciation and a vision for what that vine can be. And so the vine dresser cuts very often very precious pieces that that vine has worked so hard to put out. These beautiful, long, elegant branches that in the end would never produce any fruit and take energy from the vine. But they sure look good, and the vine has really become attached to it, only to have this vine dresser come along and whack that off. But that's part of the relationship that is healing. Because without that pruning, and without that cutting, and without that transformation, it just isn't going to be able to be a healthy fellowship. It isn't going to be what God created us to be. In the passage from James, we read what is the essence of a healthy fellowship. If any are sick, let the elders pray for them, and this responsibility for the sickness be able to be dispersed into the life of the church and healing take place. If any are joyful, then we sing. If any are in need, we reach out in love to one another. That which is an experience of the individual is owned and shared by the whole of the community. This is not in a sick, enmeshed, everybody feeling the same way all the time kind of way. This is in an element of having this balance between appreciation of each individual and their gifts, looking out for them as to what would be the most healthy and that which could be developed, while at the same time maintaining this individuality, this support, so that each person is able to function in their unique capacity. And so this balance between being together and supportive of each other, but fostering the individuality is what James is talking about. That is only accomplished amongst a group of people who have developed the maturity that comes from a sacrificial life. That's only accomplished in a body of Christ that has undergone pruning. And it's in that way that the wholeness and the love and the joy of the church is able to be established. That's Jesus' vision for the church. That's the gift that God wants to give. It can be tough being pruned. It can be harsh having to review what is precious and central and what has finished its purpose and needs to be let go. But in that faithfulness and in that sacrifice, Therein lies the possibility of fulfilling the call and mission of Christ on our lives individually and together. Please pray with me. Jesus, the way of the cross is a challenge. It's our nature to seek comfort and to seek privilege, to be served rather than to seek to serve. But you've taught us that the rewards of being in joyful, healthy fellowship, in which your love and compassion flows freely, far outweighs the challenges of the pruning and the seasoning with fire. Lord God, open our hearts to the work you're doing in our midst, even as you lead us to new and joyful ways of living in wholeness. Show us how to live in faithfulness to each other. Bless us as we seek to place our faithfulness in you above all of the stumbling blocks and distractions that seem to come into the way. Let us be your faithful people. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Our Father,
uh-huh.
who art in heaven,
uh-huh.
hallowed be thy name.
Uh-huh.
Thy kingdom come,
uh-huh.
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Uh-huh.
Give us this day our daily bread,
uh-huh.
and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation,
mm-hmm.
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and in life everlasting. Amen. We are First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. God's blessings be to you, your family, and the peace of Christ be with us all.